Can a condiment develop a cult following? Well, ever since David Tran started bottling a version of sriracha, the Thailand-based hot sauce he had enjoyed in his native Vietnam, its popularity in the U.S. has skyrocketed. Bloomington-based filmmaker Griffin Hammond likes sriracha so much, he made a documentary film about it. Featured in that film is Randy Clemens, the author of not one but two cookbooks featuring sriracha. I'm Jim Meadows, and Griffin Hammond and Randy Clemens are my guests today on Focus. They'll tell the sriracha story and why they and a lot of other people find it irresistible. Our program continues after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. When I lived in Peoria, and especially during the 1980s, some of my neighbors were Vietnamese. They were as part of the so-called boat people, refugees who fled Vietnam after the fall of Saigon. When the hospitality of my Vietnamese neighbors brought me to dine with them, I could see all the time the same brand of hot sauce showing up at their tables. It came in a plastic bottle with a picture of a rooster and labeling in multiple languages and alphabets. And actually, I was a little afraid to try the stuff. I shouldn't have been, because the hot sauce in question is not as powerful as I feared. It's sriracha, and in particular, this was sriracha made by Hoi Fong Foods of California. I didn't know it at the time, but actually, the product was fairly new, and the founder of Hoi Fong Foods was, like my neighbors, a refugee from Vietnam. The hot sauce with the rooster on the bottle was his version of a hot sauce that has its roots in Thailand. Well, since then, Hoi Fong and other versions of sriracha have developed a loyal and committed following in the U.S. that goes beyond the traditional tastes of Asian immigrants. And two big sriracha fans are with us on Focus today to talk about it and explain why they like it so much. Griffin Hammond of Bloomington is a filmmaker who produced a short documentary video singing the praises of sriracha. In just over 30 minutes, the film talks to people serving and eating sriracha across the country. It visits the Hoi Fong factory in California and talks with its founder, David Tran. And it goes to Thailand, to the town of sriracha, which is where the original version of the hot sauce was born. Griffin Hammond, welcome to Focus.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
And also featured in Griffin's film is a man who liked sriracha so much, he published a sriracha cookbook. No, make that two cookbooks. The Sriracha Cookbook, 50 Rooster Sauce Recipes That Pack a Punch, and a vegan version of the book called The Veggie Lover's Sriracha Cookbook. They are both published by 10 Speed Press. And that author is Randy Clemens. He's on the phone with us. Randy, welcome to Focus.
Thank you for having me.
And Randy, I want to throw this question to you first, because you're the one who knows how to cook. It's not like we never had hot sauce in this country before sriracha came along. What is so special about sriracha?
Well, I think it comes down to the fact that it is a wonderful balance of flavor and heat. It's not just a sort of a hot pepper punch. It's not, you know, this is the hottest sauce on earth or anything like that. And it's a really great balance, and all of its flavors within that are balanced as well. There's this hot pepper heat, a little bit, you know, the pungency from some garlic, a little sweetness from sugar, some salt, and it really kind of touches all the points on your palate versus just being like something that's so direct, like Tabasco with vinegar. I love Tabasco, but it's a straight kind of vinegar shot. It's very, very acidic. And I think this sriracha tends to have a much better balance, in my opinion.
Griffin Hammond, why do you like sriracha so much? Why do you like it enough to make a movie about it?
Well, I probably am obsessed with it. I put it on most of my meals, and I think it is because the fresh jalapenos are the main flavor in sriracha. I mean, that's what you taste most of. And so it's just hot, and it's fresh and good.
And have you compared it with, say, the Mexican-rooted hot sauces? Do you notice a particular difference? And is it things like the vinegar that Randy mentioned?
Yeah, just like Randy said, most hot sauces outside of sriracha are pretty vinegar heavy, and I like Mexican hot sauces, like Cholula is one of my favorites, and I like green Tabasco, but I like to eat those on Mexican foods because I want that kind of vinegar kick. But for most other foods, I like sriracha.
By the way, we welcome your questions on Focus and your comments about sriracha, or maybe your own favorite hot sauce, how you like to use it. Call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. And you can email your questions to will-talk@illinois.edu. You can reach us on Twitter or Facebook at Focus580. Griffin, you talked to a lot of people about Sriracha for the movie, and I want to play a clip now if we have it ready. And this is just a minute out of your video talking to people who like Sriracha and why they like it and how.
I have a bottle at my desk at work. People during breakfast and lunch will come by and they'll use some on their food, so I get to indulge people with my love for Sriracha.
Spicy and flavorful in a respectful way. Yeah, I take it with me. I've smuggled it into different restaurants, friends' wedding reception. I didn't expect to wind up sharing it with the whole table.
I like it on pretty much everything, actually.
Literally everything.
I love putting sriracha on pasta.
Nachos.
Mac and cheese.
Stir fry.
Sandwiches.
Every day. I put on my eggs this morning.
Scrambled eggs.
Eggs.
Have to have it. Can't eat eggs without it.
I would not put it on ice cream. But I actually don't know about that.
There was these sriracha ice cream sandwiches. They're massive. They're like the size of your face. It looks like a stoner's paradise.
You can put it on pizza.
Pizza.
I do the zigzag, fill in as much space as I can onto the slice.
My dad really likes it, so it's in my house. I just am too scared to try it.
And we cut off there, but I can say the young lady then goes on to try sriracha for the first time. And maybe she's just being nice for the camera, but she seems to like it.
Yeah, no, we couldn't find anyone who didn't like it. It seemed like everyone enjoyed it.
How did you hunt down people? Because I don't know, you went to different parts of the country, actually, in talking to Sriracha. Some of them were near here. You're from Bloomington, and you filmed part of it on the ISU campus in Normal, I believe, finding people there who like Sriracha, students. But you went to other places as well.
Yeah, I mean, we started the shoot in Bloomington just because campus is there. One of the people in the film, Tyler Ranieri, who suggested this flavor to Lay's as part of their potato chip competition, he happened to be in Normal, Illinois. So we started there. But then everywhere we went in the film, in New York, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, we found more Sriracha fans and just asked them what they like to eat it on. And
where do you find, how do you hunt down Sriracha fans to talk to you on camera?
It was surprisingly easy. At one point, we were at the Taste of Chicago in Chicago, and we just started walking up to people with the bottle and said, hey, do you know what this is? Can we ask you a few questions about it? And most people I encounter, about half people I walk up to know what Sriracha is, and a lot of them are willing to talk about it on camera.
Why do people have strong feelings about it then?
I think it's because it's different from so many hot sauces. It blends well with a lot of things. In the clip you just heard, you heard a great variety of foods that people like to put it on. And I think that's what makes it unique, that it works with so many things. I put it on a lot of things.
Now, Randy Clements, you're in this movie, and I don't know, how did Griffin find you?
Well, he'd sent me an email at some point early last year. I don't know, I'd want to say maybe March or April, and just wanted to see if there was potential for the movie at all. There was someone in Los Angeles who had, kind of floated the idea before, but never actually ended up getting to make the film, and so he just wanted to see if there was this potential for making the film, and if there were people who I'd encountered over the past several years.
And Randy knows everything about Sriracha, so I kind of thought if I started with him, then I could get a lot of these answers I needed.
Exactly. And, of course, I was happy to help, and when he came out to L.A., you know, I wanted to connect him with some of the folks and really just be as big a part of as I could to help, just because I think it's such a great story behind the hot sauce that, you know, for me, when I found out what the sauce was all about and where it came from, I was just so enthralled with the story, and I thought it was going to be really great for someone to finally really shine a light on it.
Your film, Griffin, has an interesting production history. You were just explaining to me how, before we went on air, you're a full-time filmmaker and you do a lot of work freelance, essentially. If somebody needs someone to shoot video, it could be a marketing film or a promotional film or advertising, wedding video, I guess, if the price is right, you'll do it. But for this film, which I think was a labor of love, you went to a different route in order to find the financial backing.
Right. You're right. This was a passion project for me, and so I was willing to do it and take on the financial risk myself. And I thought it would probably cost about $10,000 to travel. I mean, that's where most of the expenses on this film are. But I realized maybe I didn't have to do this alone. There's so many Sriracha fans out there and people that were excited for the film to come out. So if I could just get some of those people to maybe pay for the film in advance. And fortunately, there's a website called Kickstarter.com where you can go and do exactly that, present your project and see if people are willing to fund it up front. So I asked for $5,000, thinking if they could get me halfway there, that would be a great start. But we hit $5,000 in 8 hours. You have a month to make your goal. And by the end of the month, we got up to $21,000. So
is this a $21,000 documentary?
Well, it's misleading because a lot of that money on Kickstarter, you present rewards like Blu-rays and posters. So almost half that money is just to pay for the rewards. But at the end of the day, I probably had about $13,000 for the film, and some of that goes towards film festivals. The film ended up costing me about $11,000.
Okay, and it has been shown at film festivals?
Not yet. We've entered it into 24 festivals. I got my first rejection the other day. I expect a lot just because not every festival is going to want to show this film. It's kind of a long, short film in the world of film festivals. But I think a few of them will really have a place for it.
Okay. You can watch it. It's not free. I guess you can watch the trailer on YouTube. But if you go to our website at will.illinois.edu/focus and look up the segment for today's program on Sriracha, you'll find a link to watching the film for, I guess, about $5.
Yeah, just $5 is the
cost.
Is that
to watch it or to own it?
Well, you really do own it. I mean, you can stream it, or probably the preferred way to watch it is to download it right from the site so that you don't have to sit through the buffering.
Well, we are talking about Sriracha on Focus today. I'm Jim Meadows. Sriracha is the chili pepper sauce from Thailand by way of Vietnam. Our guests are Griffin Hammond, producer of a documentary film about Sriracha, and Randy Clemens, author of two Sriracha cookbooks. Do you use Sriracha or perhaps another hot sauce that you swear by? Call with your questions and comments at 1-800-222-9455. You can email your questions to will-talk@illinois.edu. The phone number again, 1-800-222-WYLL. Besides phone or email, you can send comments to us on Twitter or Facebook at Focus580. Randy Clemens, you have published two cookbooks on Sriracha, and what got you started? You've been a professional chef, is that true?
Yeah, quite some time ago, I used to work in restaurants, but it's pretty awful work, and I don't think I was cut out for it really. But I was lucky enough to, the same as you, just be exposed to Vietnamese food via a Vietnamese family. A good friend of mine in high school had lived much closer to school than I did, so I ended up spending a lot of time at his house just so I wasn't commuting back and forth all the time. And I almost became sort of an adopted son just because I came over a lot after I tasted his mom's cooking. I mean, I was already there quite a bit, and then getting to taste Vietnamese food for the very first time, I was just blown away. And I remember very distinctly one morning she'd made a big bowl of, it's called gom kien, and it's Vietnamese fried rice. And there was a bottle of Sriracha out on the table. And I don't know what it was. I wasn't a hot sauce person at all, and certainly not with breakfast. But there was just this beautiful bottle there that was really intriguing to me with all the different languages on it. And no one else was using it or said to try it or anything. But I just reached over and grabbed it. And like I said, it was a very distinct memory for me, like the sun, you know, the clouds parted and the sun shone through. And I was kind of hooked that very moment. And they thought it was hilarious. And so they ended up buying me a bottle. It wasn't so readily available then. You could find it at Asian markets.
I take it, you know, a lot of Southeast Asian folk use Sriracha, but I think the relationship to it, as I think as you explained in the film, when you go to Thailand, when you go to Sriracha, I got the impression that they really use a lot of sriracha, but for them, the relationship would be sriracha would be like the member of the family that's always been there. And for a lot of people in America who are not Asian and like it, it's like their exciting new girlfriend. And it's just and that's why you'll write all these essentially equivalents of love songs about it in terms of a documentary or a cookbook in your case. And Randy, I was wondering the types of dishes you looked at and that you designed, were they along the lines of what you already saw being done by the Asians who used sriracha on a daily basis?
You know, I really wanted to look at sriracha as an ingredient and not just as a condiment. Certainly, I loved it on top of my food. You know, there's a lot of people who say, you know, oh, sriracha on everything. But I wanted to try putting it in everything more or less. I don't think it was really used much as a cooking ingredient. So for me, I was really looking for different ways to do it. The most common things I'd seen had been, of course, putting it in pho, the Vietnamese noodle soup, and like spicy tuna rolls at sushi restaurants. Those are kind of where you'd find it most often. But I didn't see too many people using it as an ingredient. So I was really kind of trying to think of recipes where the heat might really peak what might have already been there. So it's like a sriracha macaroni and cheese. I mean, if you get a really dynamite macaroni and cheese recipe and work some sriracha into it, like I like to do a baked mac and cheese, so you've got that kind of creamy bechamel sauce base. How can I work sriracha into that? And really, I think what I've found is when cooking with it, it really plays well with other flavors, and it really adapts to a lot of different cuisines, and it's not overpowering. You definitely know it's there, and its flavor comes through, but it's really incredible how it can be almost like a chameleon and work with all these different flavors to complement them while still retaining its own identity.
And that's different. I take it you found that you got a different use of sriracha or of any hot sauce by cooking with it rather than putting it on top of your food at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I still love to put a bunch on top, but I think it does really give a different experience when you're cooking with it. And I really, really enjoyed it and couldn't wait to share it with other people. And the response has been great.
Let's take a phone call. Line 4, Amelia from Lombard. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Good morning. You're loud and clear in the suburb of Chicago.
Well, that's great to hear.
Where can I buy sriracha in either the Chicago area or Springfield area?
I don't think you should have trouble finding it. Here in Bloomington, where I'm from, I mean, it's at Walmart. I think it's at Jewel. It's at most major grocery stores now.
Okay, great. And my other question was, just recently I've seen and enjoyed these chocolate bars that have the hot with them, the chili with the dark chocolate. Have you done any cooking or using the sriracha with anything sweet, such as a dark chocolate or a chocolate?
Randy, what's that chocolate bar we had in Los Angeles with sriracha in it?
Well, yes, I have cooked with it, and there's actually some spiced sriracha truffles that I really like making. I put a little, I think, some cinnamon, if you'd like, and some orange peel and things like that, and it really plays well. I've actually had a couple different chocolatiers make chocolate truffles, some with peanut butter, others with ginger lime for a couple events I've done. But when Griffin was in Los Angeles, we went to a restaurant called Chego, and they have a dark chocolate sriracha bar that's got like a peanut caramel sauce and like crispy rice and a sriracha ganache, and it's really interesting. It does play really well, in my opinion, with chocolate.
Amelia, tell me about that. What was your experience? Because that is certainly not two tastes that I would expect to go together. What was it like having sweet chocolate with something hot in it?
And it happened at a relative's house. She served brownies made with jalapeno, and I love brownies, and I love jalapeno. And I never would have thought to put that together. And somehow that bitterness of the chocolate and not so sweet, the darker chocolate, with the jalapeno, I thought that was great. So then now, and I found a bar, I think Lindt makes it, the chocolate bar with the chili. And then when listening to your program, I started thinking, what about this hot sauce with, again, that dark chocolate aspect, whether it's a brownie or cake or something sweeter, like he said, with the truffle. That sounds wonderful. And I think that's what led me to that idea of the chocolate with the hot.
It's actually a pretty ancient pairing. you know, some of the ancient civilizations, and pardon me, I'm not sure if it was Mayan or Incan, and that's my own historical ignorance. I slept a little too much through history class. But on the food side, I do know that drinking chocolate, which was very common back then, just melted chocolate that they would blend with sometimes with sugar and other spices, but chili powder was a very, very important ingredient. They just put a little bit in, and it really does help pique the chocolate flavor. And I think they also were appreciating the health benefits of chili powder, as well as some purported aphrodisiac effects.
Yeah, for the increased circulation. That's right, the chili powder and then cocoa powder. And I think Aztecs too did something with the pounding in that cup. They had a special cup. I'm thinking like mortar and pestle, but not exactly that.
Right.
But they had that special cup. And that's what they would drink.
Absolutely.
Well, Amelia, thank you very much for calling. The last thing I would think of in terms of looking for in a grocery store, if you just went into a regular supermarket, if you tried the international aisle, that's where I found it yesterday at one of the chains here in central Illinois.
Because when we're not in Chicago, we're in Petersburg. So that's also where I listen to WILL. So I will look and see where I can find it. But everything, even Migas, where you take the egg and then you sprinkle either nacho chips or a spicy chip, sometimes I use salsa instead of that, and I bet that sriracha would be great with the Migas. And that's in the cooking. That's not just sprinkled on top when the eggs are already prepared. The eggs are in the pan, not quite cooked. Sauce goes over, chips, and then the black beans.
I can see how this can inspire people.
Absolutely.
I hope so, but thank you. All your programming is just wonderful, and I don't know what kind of car radio I have that I can get 580 nice and clear.
Well, I'm glad that you can hear us up there.
Yes.
Okay, take care, Amelia.
Thank you so much. We enjoy your programming.
Okay. And I was wondering the thing about hot sauce and a sweet flavor. I mean, looking at the ingredients of this sriracha, and I'm looking at the ingredients of other hot sauces, sugar is the second ingredient. And I was looking at some sauces on the aisle. There were some Thai-style hot sauces. Some of them advertised as sweet sauces where sugar was the first ingredient. So it does sound like it's, and when I think of things like barbecue sauce, sugar is definitely in there. It does sound, is that a traditional pairing then of hot sauce and sweet that goes beyond just things like desserts?
Well, one of my favorite things that I tasted during the film was sriracha in peach jam. I mean, it's just that sweet peach flavor and the heat of sriracha was a pairing that I really enjoyed.
I can't imagine it, but I'll take your word for it. Let's go ahead and take another call on line one, Colin in Muhammad. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Hello. I got introduced to sriracha, which is how I say it, because that's how this person I got it from said it. He had come back from Vietnam, and this was probably about 75. We both worked in the same place, and when we went to lunch, everybody went at the same time and had their lunch buckets, and he would always bring out this little container of bright red sauce and a hard-boiled egg and a bunch of other really good-looking Oriental dishes. And I asked him what it was, and he said it was sriracha. And he gave me a bite of it on a hard-boiled egg, and it was just, I've been eating it ever since, especially on a hard-boiled egg. It's salty, and it's sweet, and it's medium hot, I would say. And you're right, it just goes on everything, and I cook with it all the time. And the only other hot sauce I keep usually is Taste of Thai, which I happen to like that too, but it's not nearly as sweet. It's just not the same thing.
Now you said you first came across this in the 1970s?
I think so.
Where were you getting it back then?
I went to an Oriental food store in Champaign.
Okay. And I was just wondering, because you tell the story in the film, Griffin, about this particular brand of sriracha, which I gather really first came in the 1980s. But it sounds like there must have been some specialty things, perhaps being imported in some different versions of.
It could have been later than I'm remembering, but it was a long time ago, and it was not too long after the Vietnam War. I know that because.
Well, and in the film, we discover that the American brand Hoi Fong, that's so popular today, that started in 1980 in California, but
I think it was
the original brand of
Sriracha
Panid, was started in 1949.
Okay.
So it may have been that you were tasting a Thai version.
It may have been. I think the bottle did change at some point.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up eggs, too. I think Griffin and I have both found that it's kind of the number one thing when you ask people what they like to put sriracha on. I get that almost more often than anything else. It's just eggs. People really love to have it on, whether hard-boiled or scrambled or fried or however you're having it. But it seems to be a really popular thing to put on top of eggs.
Eggs do play a big role in the documentary. I see a lot of eggs with sriracha on it. Not hard-boiled eggs. I hadn't thought of that. You show a... You go ahead and show omelets a lot, I think. And I think we've lost calling, but I do thank you for calling and setting us on this direction. I want to go a little further in this direction after the break. We can talk about the story of sriracha and then the deeper history of sriracha, because it is more than just the bottle with the rooster on it. It goes back further than that. And so we'll talk some more about sriracha with Griffin Hammond and Randy Clements in a moment here on Focus on WYLL. We are back on Focus on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows, and my guests today are two really big fans of the Asian hot sauce known as Sriracha. And our caller earlier called it very precisely Sriracha, and that is, I guess, really more technically correct. Coming from Asian languages. Griffin Hammond produced a documentary just about sriracha, and Randy Clements, who's written two cookbooks about sriracha, is among the many sriracha lovers appearing in the movie. If you have questions or comments, call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455 or email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Focus580. The phone number again, 1-800-222-WILL. We just got an email in about the Hoi Fong Sriracha factory coming up in the news in the last few weeks. Not the best publicity in the world, but maybe it's the starting point for the story of this particular business. And Jim writes, so a judge in California ordered production of sriracha to cease because of the smell in the area of the factory. It just started up again. And Jim is wondering, did this news send shockwaves through the sriracha zealots? Those are his words. And how is this going to play out? And I understand this did indeed involve the Hoi Fong factory in, I guess, is in Southern California. And from the film, I gathered it was a pretty new factory. He's upgraded at least twice because of the growth of the popularity of his product.
Yeah, this is a brand new factory. They built it within the last couple of years, and they are just now getting some of the lines online and moving their production over there. But there's actually two different issues that have happened in the last few months to Hoi Fong Foods. One was that they were getting complaints from their neighbors, the residential neighbors, saying that they could smell the peppers. And Randy and I never smelled the peppers, but, you know, being in central Illinois, we know that sometimes these factories, you know, weather conditions, it can bring it out. But then a second problem was that the state decided they needed to test the product for the first time and make sure that any microorganisms that could be living in the jalapenos are sufficiently killed by the acid. So they just finished that testing. So sriracha has been on hold for the last month, or almost a month. They haven't been able to ship product out. But by the end of January, they're going to be shipping again. But yeah, we've been calling it, everyone, all the sriracha lovers out there have been calling it sriracha apocalypse, all of these issues.
Now, I'm wondering, Randy, especially with you, I understand you live not far from the factory, maybe not within smelling distance, but you could certainly get down there pretty easily.
No, I wish I could smell it, but as Griffin said, I probably live about 25 minutes from both factories, the former factory in Rosemead that they still have open. But also this new factory in a city called Irwindale. And yeah, the few times that I visited, you sure as heck couldn't smell it outside. There was only one room on the inside where you could actually smell it, and that was where they were actively grinding the chilies. And that's just during a very short harvest season, maybe, you know, I think it's from something like August to November-ish. And so it was just very strange that there were these complaints because the Air Quality Management District wasn't able to really find anything. So here we were with a judge with an order for them to shut down the part of the factory that was making the smell they couldn't pinpoint. So it was kind of nebulous at best, but it seems to have worked itself out, if only because the harvest season is now over. So if there was some offensive smell, you know, it seems like they're going to be able to do a lot of things before the next harvest to take care of that. But their old factory, you could smell it coming down the street, and it smelled great. And they never operated with any issues there. So I'm not sure if there were, as Griffin noted, some unique weather conditions or something that would bring it out. But you know, I just hope it doesn't end up popping up its ugly head again with this year's harvest.
If the Rosemead factory, has that kept producing during this whole affair?
My understanding is that, so essentially they do all the harvesting and they make the sauce within hours of the peppers being picked. They grow from one grower, they buy from one grower, and he only grows peppers for them. And as soon as they're harvested, they're shipped down to the factory via these huge truckloads. And Griffin gets some really great shots of all that in the movie.
And in the last two seasons, they've been processing at the new factory.
Okay. Yeah, and so basically throughout the year, everything else is bottling. So I believe they're still doing some of that at the Rosemead factory just while they're getting the Irwindale system in place and, you know, ironing out any wrinkles such as this. So I think it was a wise move on their part to keep sort of this backup factory for the time being. But I'm sure once they get everything figured out, that, you know, at that point they'll move all their operations to Irwindale. But for the time being, I believe they are operating out of both.
Well, this bottle says Rosemead on it, a bottle of Hoi Fong Sriracha that I have in front of me.
I think, and even the bottles that are coming out of Irwindale right now still say Rosemead on them.
Well, Griffin, tell me about Hoi Fong Foods. It was founded by a guy named David Tran. Tell me about him.
Well, yeah, like you said earlier, he's one of the Vietnamese boat people who came over after the war. He was essentially kicked out of Vietnam by the new government. He's an ethnic Chinese person that they just weren't interested in him sticking around anymore. So he arrived in Los Angeles and needed a job and realized that the Vietnamese people around him wanted this hot sauce that they missed from home. So he started making his own version, and almost immediately, from 1980 on, he's been selling out immediately. He's always had more demand than supply. So he never advertised this product. He just kept making a product that he loved, and now he sells 20 million bottles a year.
You had not really known anything about him when you started to make the film.
Right. I realized I've been eating this sauce for 10 years, and I love it. I'm obsessed with it. You know, I would buy a Sriracha t-shirt, but I didn't know who David Tran was. I didn't even really know what went into this sauce. So it just struck me as strange that there are so many fans and yet there's so much ignorance about the sauce.
Well, and some of them, and from what I gathered from the film, some of them didn't know that it was actually made, this brand anyway, in America. You, of course, David Tran is in the film, so you certainly had a chance to meet him. Tell me what qualities about him struck you, because to really come out of Vietnam, I essentially with nothing, I guess, except his experience in making hot sauce and to build this company is certainly some sort of success story.
Right. Well, when I first met him, I didn't know his full story, so I didn't know that he arrived in the U.S. with nothing and built this up, you know, so successfully. But you could see it in his work ethic. I mean, you meet him, and right away you could tell he's a hardworking man who, he's not arrogant or anything. I mean, he's the guy that shows up at the front of the factory and says, you know, and greets us when we arrive. And he's, you know, he's not dressed up. He's just there to work and make a good product. So it's kind of amazing how focused he is on the product. And it's the money and success is kind of just an interesting byproduct to him. But it's really about just making a great sauce.
Now, he now has a son-in-law working with him. He's seen there in the film, and he does a lot of speaking. The son-in-law is American.
Right.
And I was wondering how he sees the company and its future from his standpoint.
Well, yeah, Adam Holliday, David Tran's son-in-law, seems like he's the guy really running the factory. So he's probably poised to take over if one day David is unable to continue making the sauce himself. But I think it seems like they're on board with each other, that Adam's goal is really just to keep making the same high-quality sauce that they've always made.
I'm looking at it now, and the rooster, why is there a rooster on the bottle?
That's because David was born in the Chinese year of the rooster.
And where did the name Hoi Fong come from?
Hoi Fong is the name of the ship that he pretty much escaped Vietnam on. This was a ship that he was forced onto, but I suppose he appreciates the fact that it got him out of Vietnam.
Those are really one of the things that you remember. Rooster sauce, I think, Randy, you used that in the subtitle of your cookbook. I guess that's what some people really do call it, is rooster sauce.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I was first, pitching the idea of the book, which was like late 2009, when I would tell someone I was working on a cookbook about sriracha, I'd sometimes get a sideways look, like, what is that? And I'd say, rooster sauce, and a lot, nine times out of ten, oh, yeah, of course. And then people knew what I was talking about. So it's a pretty common nickname.
The other thing you notice about the bottle, there seem to be four languages of writing on it. And maybe, Griffin, you identified all the languages on this bottle?
I always forget. I think there's Spanish and French and Vietnamese and possibly Chinese as well on there.
For the alphabets, I don't know. I'm going to guess Chinese and Thai. That would seem to be the natural connections. I understand David Tran is ethnically Chinese,
right?
From Vietnam. And Thai is the next step of where this sauce comes from.
Although I bet it's Vietnamese, not Thai on there.
I think it is.
Just because David is Vietnamese, and it's kind of made for Vietnamese people.
This is another mystery, with maybe someone can help us figure out. We have a tweet from Tim who says that one of his favorite dips or sauces is sriracha with ranch dressing.
Ooh, I love that too.
Yeah, I affectionately call it sriracha, and it is. It's a really great dip just for raw vegetables or.
I had it last night.
There you go. It's also my brother. I don't know. When I was younger, it was appealing, but I don't do it anymore. My brother used to put ranch dressing on his pizza. He'd dip pizza in ranch. It was really good, but I can only assume that putting some sriracha in there, too, would really be great.
I want to play another clip from the documentary, and maybe this is something that you can comment on, Griffin. Actually, your voice is in here, and these are voices of chefs who use sriracha and maybe specifically Hoi Fong for sriracha. I'm not sure about that. In their cooking.
It's pretty popular in food circles, and I think a lot of what had to do with that is, showing up on Top Chef.
Harold Dieterle, who won the first season of Top Chef, is a big fan.
One of my favorite ways to use it is just fold it into some mayonnaise and make an aioli out of it, and it's like, bam, do whatever you want on it. Throw it on a crab cake sandwich, throw it on a hamburger. It's awesome.
I really love sriracha. I invented these leathers that are flavored with savory sauces. What they do is they absorb all those juices and kind of keep the juices at bay.
Every chef has got a bottle in the refrigerator. I don't care what they tell you.
Sriracha, how much sriracha do we go through? Six bottles a week. So half a case a week.
David Tran has two cultures to thank. Vietnamese culture for the pho movement.
There's not one Vietnamese place that doesn't use sriracha.
And he's got the Japanese kitchen for the spicy tuna roll.
Every sushi place I've worked at, they use sriracha in their spicy tuna. Like, every single one.
If spicy tuna rolls were not popular, I would argue sriracha would not be as popular.
We're all using it. We're all fans.
Yeah.
And someone who tells you they don't like sriracha is full of shit.
And the voices you heard in there, besides Randy, and I guess that's you, Griffin, as the narrator, is Harold Dieterle, a chef at Kin Shop in New York City, Ernesto Uchimura, a chef at Plan Check Kitchen and Bar in Los Angeles, Jason M., executive chef at Jellyfish in Chicago, and the L.A.-based Asian cuisine chef Jet Tila, I think the one in the group who is actually of a Thai background.
Right, yes, Jet Tila is Thai, and he's kind of conflicted about the rise of Hoi Fong sriracha, because it's not the Thai original.
And that is the next step. First, I wanted to check with you, Randy. All these people, it's a useful tool in cooking, it sounds like.
It really is, and because it adds so much with just, you know, you're only adding one ingredient, but you're in essence you're adding, you know, five more or less. You're adding the heat from the peppers, you're adding some garlic, you're adding a little sugar and a little bit of salt and some acidity from the vinegar. So you're really kind of getting a multidimensional addition just with a simple, you know, maybe as small as a squirt, but as much as, you know, I think one of my recipes calls for something absurd like 2/3 of a cup of sriracha, but it is for 6 to 8 servings. But even still, it just, you're adding more than I think the sum of its parts in doing so. It really, like I said before, is a chameleon with food and can bring out all sorts of really great different flavors from different cuisines. So it's become an indispensable part of my sort of culinary arsenal.
We're talking about sriracha on Focus. Still time for your questions about this Asian hot sauce that's known in America by the bottle with the rooster on it. Call us at 1-800-222-9455 or email us at will-talk@illinois.edu, 1-800-222-WYLL, to pose a question for Randy Clements, sriracha cookbook author, and sriracha documentary filmmaker Griffin Hammond. And talking about this Thai angle is that the documentary does go to Thailand. You went there and you went to the town of Sriracha, which is where the original sriracha hot sauce originated.
Yes, I didn't know if we would originally be able to do that with our limited budget, but once we raised all that extra money on Kickstarter, Randy and I decided to fly to Bangkok, and then we drove down to Sriracha, Thailand, just to kind of see what is it like there. What do people eat sriracha on? And I think it was surprising to find that it's not nearly as popular as it is here. I mean, here we're eating Hoi Fong's version of sriracha on a variety of things. We just heard from all those chefs. But in Thailand, sriracha is kind of just like an egg and seafood dipping sauce. It's kind of like in America, we have tartar sauce, and it's not very exciting, and we eat it on a very few specific things. That's kind of how sriracha is in Thailand.
Okay. The sauce, the original Thai version of sriracha is also somewhat different from the Hoi Fong version of sriracha.
Yeah, every brand is a little bit different, but the one that we really focused on in the film, Sriracha Paneed, the original from 1949, it wasn't as hot. It seemed maybe more garlicky, more sweet, and also a little bit thinner. It's all the same ingredients, but just slightly different proportions.
Okay, and Randy, when you're looking at these different sauces, are there times when you would use one version over another for a certain effect?
You know, It's interesting that you ask that. I definitely think so. I mean, for me, you can, you know, sort of choose your favorite and just go with that, and it'll certainly work. I mean, all the recipes in the books were tested with the Hoi Fong Foods version just because I knew most people were going to be, you know, most readily accessible, that brand would be most readily accessible to most people. But because of the thinner consistency of the Thai versions, you do want to be, you know, careful going with a direct conversion rate, just because it's going to be a little bit, a little more liquid, just for lack of a better word. But with some of the recipes, it can definitely work out. But when you're looking for something, it's just going to be a little bit thinner. So for me, I like to use that really more as a condiment. I don't cook with the Thai versions quite so much. You certainly can, and one of the things I really do like it with, there's some honey sriracha glazed buffalo wings that I make, and you can use either of those versions, you know, the American versions or the Thai versions. But really, I do kind of tend to keep the Thai version more inviolate, more just as a dipping sauce and a condiment versus an ingredient. But
when I was at a Vietnamese restaurant in Urbana yesterday, they had, as I said, the Hoi Fong sriracha on the table, and they also had a little bowl of something which I gathered to be more of the Thai version of sriracha. Anyway, it was, I think, presented for dipping or pouring. Would that be what you would usually see at a restaurant?
In Thailand, we did find that sriracha was usually presented as a dipping sauce, that you wouldn't pour it on top of your food, but you would dip a forkful of seafood into it.
Okay. We have somebody just tweeted that sriracha is good with mustard. And is that something that either of you have worked with?
I don't know if I have. What about you, Randy?
No, you know, I've heard it before, and I just haven't done it. It's the same with, I've heard people recommend, sriracha and peanut butter sandwiches, and it sounds good to me because, you know, there's the Thai kind of the idea of a satay with a peanut sauce. I'm sure it's great. I just, for whatever silly reason, I haven't done it.
I'm wondering, when we're talking mustard, are we talking about the mustard we put on our hot dogs, which is mustard and turmeric, or are we talking about, say, the mustard you get at Chinese restaurants, which is really a
already
lot of mustard, and absolutely, and how that would mix together, how two hot things taste when they're combined. I'm wondering.
That might be a prescription for sinus decongestant medicine.
Well, that was always straight mustard. That was always one of the things I noticed about it. Is I felt it right in the sinuses. It was if they're at all clogged, it doesn't really clear them up, but it feels good. We have some sriracha here. We have some food here. This is the best I could find in the vending machine. I didn't think the Rice Krispie treats or the animal crackers would do it. I have some Trail's Best salami. It does have some spice in it, not pepper. If you were given cold cuts of some sort of ground meat, I'm going to hand it over to Griffin here. I'm going to hand it over to and hand him the Hoi Fong and. Let him see how he applies it to salami steaks, which may not be the first thing you think of, but certainly.
This looks like a hot dog. I put sriracha on hot dogs.
Okay, and tell me what you get out of this. Does this enhance the food at all?
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, I can't imagine vending machine. Beef sticks have a whole lot of flavor on their own, but the great thing about sriracha is it doesn't cover it up. It's letting me enjoy both.
Beef and pork, to be exact, with spices and paprika, they say. So even vending machine food can taste better with sriracha, is what you're telling me.
Oh, yeah.
That's one heck of an endorsement.
Well, I think that's probably the reason I started eating it when I was in college, is I was eating the cheapest food. It was just ramen and frozen chimichangas and all these things, and I was spending the least amount of money I could on food. But to add sriracha always made all my meals better.
I'm wondering, with this following the food has gotten outside of the Asian community, with the work that you have done, Griffin, Randy, how long have the cookbooks been out, and what sort of response did you get from them?
Well, the Sriracha Cookbook came out in January 2011, and the Veggie Lovers Sriracha Cookbook just came out in July of 2013. So the response has really been overwhelming, to say the least. I mean, it's just been wonderful, and I figured there were a lot of people out there who loved sriracha as much as I did, but I had no idea how many of them there were. And it's been really, really great to get the feedback from them. The only kind of negative criticism that they've received has been, I could write a sriracha cookbook, take a recipe and add sriracha. And there is a bit more finesse to it than that. There are some beginner recipes in the beginning that are just some basic sauces that I think can introduce people to the idea of using it in different things. So like the gentleman who said with ranch dressing, I think that's a really great base to use, and you can kind of experiment around with different things. It also makes you can mix it in with blue cheese dressing or with ketchup or with mayonnaise or with pesto. Those are some of my favorite things. And, yes, those are decidedly simple recipes, but the idea is that it opens your mind up to kind of how you can start playing with it. So I've gotten mostly really, really good feedback, other than a few people who kind of give it that cursory glance and say, oh, this is just so simple, I could have written this. People have really, really been responsive, and certainly with I went vegetarian about 4 years ago, but it was a really big, even more of a surprise to me to see how much the vegetarian and vegan community really embraces sriracha. And I suppose when you're taking things out like bacon fat, you're missing some element of really delicious flavor. I did not become vegetarian for flavor reasons, but sriracha can really, really help pick up the flavor of vegetables. And so for me, going to the Veggie Lover's Sriracha Cookbook was sort of the next progression. And the response to that has been overwhelming again. People have just been kind of extremely grateful. Some people had bought the original book and had kind of tried to convert some of the recipes to be more veggie-friendly. But so they really got even more excited when the second book came out. So it's just been wonderful to get to connect with these people and find other fellow sriracha addicts like Griffin and these other folks.
Griffin, since the film came out, I guess there are two audiences we could think of here. First of all, the sriracha lovers who helped finance it, and then the people who learn about sriracha from your film. What sort of feedback have you gotten?
One of the best comments I saw on the film was that, I mean, I guess I'm surprised how many people haven't tried it but are willing to watch the film. And I had a comment say that he and his wife, they watched the film. They had never tried it before, but they were immediately inspired that evening right after finishing the film to run out to the grocery store, and they started eating it on everything right away, sandwiches. And I mean, it sounds like a lot of people have gotten hooked on it because of the film.
What do you, you know, is this aspect of sriracha popularity, do you see this as the fad, the food that has a certain following, you know, this decade? Or do you see this affecting eating taste the way that, say, salsa has supplanted ketchup in popularity in this country?
I mean, I suppose like everything, it'll have to end eventually, you know. Tastes will change, culture will change, but for me, it's lasted so long, and for everyone I know that loves sriracha, it's not just a passing fad. They're eating it for years, not just for months.
Yeah, I've been eating it for about 15 years now, and when I started working on the book in late 2009, you know, even then people were saying, "Oh, it's a fad." They kept calling it hipster ketchup or hipster sauce, and you know, just kind of naysaying it. But then in 2010, Bon Appetit named it its ingredient of the year, and it's only grown in popularity, and people are still saying the same thing, and maybe it will, like Griffin said, maybe it'll fade out for a lot of people, but I think there's always going to be just a core following that will always, always love it. So I don't think it's going anywhere.
Well, I want to thank my two guests for sharing the love of sriracha with us. Randy Clemens, author of the Sriracha Cookbook and the Veggie Lover Sriracha Cookbook. Griffin Hammond, producer of the documentary film Sriracha. Find out more on our website at will.illinois.edu/focus. This is Focus on WYLL.